I am Paula Gordon. Bill Russell is with me, and we are both with Stuart Kaufman, who has been giving us an idea about a new way of thinking about science that, if I may quote you, I hope correctly, you're talking about a general biology, a new way of thinking about life.
Yeah, I am. You see, I think we're on or near the threshold of a general biology.
How is that distinct from
plain old biology?
Biology.
Well, biology, the stuff that I grew up studying as a doc and as a developmental biologist, is terrestrial biology. It's the only example we've got. It's the only example we're sure exists.
Because we live on Earth, and so that's the way it is.
Yeah, there's lots of robins around. I mean, face it, and there's lots of bugs and doggies and bunnies and coyotes, and particularly in Santa Fe. So terrestrial biology is in front of us. So it's our one example of life. Now, either we're going to discover life elsewhere in the universe, and it may be that it's radically different than Earth life, or perhaps even sooner, we will create life de novo in test tubes. I want to talk about that. As soon as we have created a novel life form or found a novel life form that is radically different than Earth life, in the sense of not being based on DNA, RNA, protein at its core, in the way that the genetic code is central to Earth life. As soon as we found life that is radically different than Earth life, whether we make it or find it, first of all, it's going to be absolutely shocking and stunning. Second of all, it will confront us with the need to invent a general biology. We may legitimately wonder, what's life like anywhere in the universe? If life has come to exist anywhere on the myriad planets that exist in the universe, are there general laws that govern any biosphere anywhere?
How do you start something that big? Where do you put your toe in the ground?
Where I'm putting my toe in the ground is by asking a set of questions that are a mixture of conceptual and experimental. So I will tell you the conceptual parts, but they're all now open to experimental investigations. And I would not be surprised if within the next 20 or 30 years we have made what it is I will try talking about.
That's very important. This book could be called Speculations if it weren't testable.
Yeah.
And what you have done is go that next step and not only postulate, but to postulate in a context that makes it possible to test it experimentally.
We can test them because we can build what I talk about.
Right.
Or at least better chemists than I can build what it is that I talk about. So I began investigations really thinking about two broad topics. One was, might there be some kind of fourth law of thermodynamics for self-constructing systems like biospheres?
Can we just quickly go through 1, 2, and 3 that are fairly common?
Okay, well, 1 is the conservation of energy. 2 is the famous second law that says that although energy is constant, usable energy continuously degrades.
Which we think of as entropy.
Because of the increase in entropy or the increase in disorder in the system.
But there's a big caveat in there that you turned me on to.
Well, good physicists will tell you things like, this is strictly true for equilibrium systems that exchange no matter and energy with their environment. And good physicists will tell you that it ignores gravitation. If you consider the universe as a whole, which is expanding and has self-gravitating masses in it, there are considerable debates among the physicists about just what the second law means in this larger context. The third law is the law that there's a zero temperature. Precisely stated, it is that there's no finite sequence of operations that you can go through which will bring molecular motion to an absolute standstill. And that absolute standstill is zero temperature.
So those three are pretty well, at least we can talk about those.
We can talk about
But
them.
When you say a fourth law.
Oh, I'm being brazen.
Well, fine. Be brazen and tell me why you're talking about a fourth law. Why do I need another law? What does that do for me?
Well, I'll hint it, then I'll come back to it. The question is, are there general laws that govern the outlines of the evolution of any biosphere? And I will tell you what my guess is, and it's just a guess based on kind of informed intuition and a lot of thinking. Three facts, pretty much uncontested, stare us in the face, and we never pay attention to them. One is that the species diversity of the biosphere has increased. Presumably, once upon a time, there was one species. And the standing diversity of species is now something like 100 million, except that we're now wiping them out at an alarming rate, they tell us.
Now, you're still talking about terrestrial biology.
Terrestrial biology. So there has been a secular increase in the number of species, although there's been great deviations from it in the mass extinction events, some due to rocks and that fell from the sky and hit the Yucatan, and others, I think, endogenous. But anyway, there's an average increase in the number of species. We do not know why. Second, the molecular diversity of the biosphere 4.5 billion years ago when life started was low. I mean, when life started, there was maybe a few dozen to a few hundred kinds of organic molecules around, presumably, that we know about. Now, if you look at the molecular diversity of the biosphere, all the kinds of protein, all the kinds of DNA, all the kinds of RNA, all the kinds of lipid, all the kinds of small organic molecules, there are billions upon billions upon billions of different kinds of molecules. So let me define the adjacent possible.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I like the idea. Although some of my friends hate it. Phil Anderson wants to call it rummaging around in the neighborhood rather than the
Phil Anderson is a Nobel laureate in physics, so he can call it that if he wants, but I like the adjacent possible.
That's called biology envy, isn't it?
Thank you. I hope Phil Hill hears the show. He's a dear friend. Yeah, it's biology envy, I guess. Well, the idea is the following. Think of all of the kinds of molecules, all the kinds of molecules that exist on the Earth out to some radius like twice the radius of the moon. Call that set the actual. Now think of all of the kinds of molecules that are one reaction step away from the molecules that exist now, say by gluing together two molecules that exist now to make a product, or having two molecules come together and have two product molecules, where the two product molecules are new molecules that don't exist now. So think of all of the molecules that are one reaction step away from what exists now. Call that the adjacent possible. That's where the biosphere could get to next.
With one step.
With one step. Well, in fact, the biosphere has been expanding into the chemical adjacent possible for 4.8 billion years, and we have no theory of it. So there's an expanding diversity of kinds of molecules. It's not arguable. That's just plain true. It's just that we don't have a theory of it. Now, I'll give you a third example. 40,000 years ago, if you wanted a chicken for dinner, you bloody well went out and found yourself a chicken. If you want a chicken for dinner now, go to any restaurant in Santa Fe and you can have a chicken for dinner. Something's happened, and what's happened is the number of ways of making a living has increased in the iconosphere over the past, say, 100,000 years. In fact, it's increased over the past 20 years. So there's an explosion in a diversity of ways of making a living. Once again, we don't have an account for why this increased diversity has happened. My guess is that they are all expressions of the same general law, which is that biospheres increase the diversity as an average trend, not always, but as a secular trend, increase the diversity of what can happen next over the long haul. And I think that that's a kind of a fourth law. And if you don't believe it, let's do the following experiment. Take a liter of living bacteria and put them in a flask with some sugar sources. Now, genes are busy turning one another on and off at very subtle changes in above and below threshold concentrations of different sugars and different kinds of metabolites. So think of all of the genes in millions of different bacteria in a liter of water with glucose and some other things in it. All of the different things that can happen next is which bacterium switches on which enzyme to do what. Well, the number of different things that can happen is enormous. Now kill all the bacteria and ask the same question. And the answer is the number of things that can happen next is small. So it's true that the diversity of things that can happen next has increased over the last 4 billion years. And I think that there's a law lying behind that, and I'll try to get to it.
When we come back, this is Stuart Kaufman. We are in Santa Fe, New Mexico with him, and we will return in just a moment. Please be with us.